While we might think the drab green tobacco packets with pictures of rotting teeth aren't nice to look at, they are attracting the attention of other countries' anti-smoking campaigns. Predictably, they're not so popular with tobacco exporting nations, and Indonesia is the latest to take legal action against Australia. Ellie Cooper has more.
Indonesia has won the right to challenge Australia's plain packaging tobacco laws at the World Trade Organization. Ukraine, Honduras, the Dominican Republic and Cuba also brought cases against Australia last year, arguing the law breaches international trade rules and the intellectual property rights of brands. Tanya Voon, professor at Melbourne Law School, believes the tobacco industry is behind these disputes.
Like the other four countries that have challenged Australia in the WTO, I suspect that there's an element of industry involvement, that the tobacco industry is pushing these disputes. In some cases, it's the different tobacco companies have made announcements, public announcements to reporters that they are funding some of the disputes. And I think, for example, in the case of the Ukraine, there's very little, if any, tobacco trade with Australia. And I think it is really the pressure of the tobacco industry that's creating these cases.
Compared to other nations, Australia is quite a small importer of tobacco. So how does plain packaging in Australia affect the bottom line of tobacco industries?
We have obviously quite a low smoking rate in terms of, certainly in terms of the developed world. So from that perspective, it's a little bit unusual, I think, that it seems that this plain packaging measure has caused so much uproar among the tobacco industry. I think that the industry does see it as really the greatest threat to its bottom line, or certainly one of the greatest threats to its bottom line at the moment. And that is not so much to do with Australia in terms of smokers here, but in terms of the potential for such measures to be taken up elsewhere. The more they are taken up across the world, the less potential is there for those companies to sell their products.
And why didn't Australia block Indonesia's first request to the WTO?
I understand that Australia would have chosen not to block this request just to keep the process moving, because Australia wants to see the case resolved, all these cases resolved. And I think, in contrast, the complainants and certainly the industry might prefer to see this remain uncertain and not resolved for as long as possible. I think that Australia has a very strong case in the WTO, and it may be that the industry is assisting these countries and doing what it can to make sure that the cases go on, but that they go on very slowly, because the longer they go on, the harder it is for other countries to resolve to pursue similar measures. And I think the industry's message to other countries is that this is what will happen if you take up such a measure. It will be very costly, it will take a long time, and so you should think twice. And so for countries who are waiting to see what the outcome is, in that regard, it's better from the industry's perspective that the cases take as long as possible.
So would the expected outcome be in Australia's favour then?
Well, in my view, yes, Australia has strong legal grounds to prevail in this dispute.
Whichever way it goes, does the WTO actually have the power to enforce their decisions?
This is a very active and relatively binding form of dispute settlement in an international context. It's a bit relatively unusual to have an appellate level court effectively in the WTO, and it is, as I said, relatively binding. It is relatively enforceable compared to other international dispute settlement systems. The ultimate retaliation would involve the complainants being able to retaliate in a trade sense against Australia. So, for example, they could raise tariffs against Australian products that are being imported into them or exported to those countries. But more likely what would happen is Australia would be given a reasonable period of time to comply, and it would have significant flexibility in deciding how to comply. And I suspect if it came to that, the government would alter its measure. So there would be no question of damages.
That's Tanya Voon. She's Professor at Melbourne Law School, ending that report by Ellie Cooper.